Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey! Happy Saturday!
Yes, happy Saturday, BE community. How y'all doing? Woo! Well, as you can see, our Kingdom Couples series continues, and y'all, we got a good one. So I'm excited. I'm excited to dive on in. As you can see, y'all, we've got some powerhouses in the building, the virtual building, that is. So I'm just going to introduce, we have Jasmine and Andre Allen. So if you two could share a little bit about yourselves before we dive on in.
Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? First, we just want to say thank you. Becoming Eva, yes. We've been watching some episodes, and we feel privileged and honored to be able to get up here and share a little bit of our story. So thank you for having us, for one.
Yes.
So again, my name is Jasmine, this is Andre, and we're married. We're coming on 6 years, which it feels like this fifth year flew by. And so we are both professionals. So I'm an attorney, I'm a business attorney. I'll say me, and then I'll let you introduce what you do. So I'm gonna let him talk about his stuff. I can talk about my stuff.
I got you.
So anyway, I've been practicing 3-4 years now. And so yeah, I focus on business, contracts, trademarks, formation, scaling your business, things like that. I also have a women's ministry called King's Daughters Connect. And so that I started at ODU about 2015. And I know you guys are probably like, what is ODU? So ODU is Old Dominion University. Sorry. Okay. I'm so used to the lingo in Virginia. but anyway, we united women in this area on college campus to plan conferences, girls nights, girls talks, really just creating a community for women who given their life to God and just want other like-minded women to build and grow with. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
As she stated, you know, this is she wears so many hats, she wears them well. I'm also a professional, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, so mental health field. And right now I serve Hampton Roads, Virginia, Chesapeake in particular, as a school social worker. So I'm in the schools, involved with a lot of our youth and students around here. I coach as well, coach AAU basketball. Mm-hmm. And I also have my own ministry as well called Even You. And it just stands for spreading the message of God having a purpose for everything about everyone. So we firing on all cylinders around here.
Yeah. I think it's interesting even how we introduce ourselves, because we're kind of sharing like our own thing, but it's funny because it's not even really our own thing. The way God has taken the things that he's given us both. And I think, you know, that kind of goes towards the theme that you guys have with Kingdom. And he's shown us how he's using our platforms, our license, yeah, our ministries, our businesses for the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I guess together, right? So we have two kids. We have a 6-year-old. We have a 1-year-old. He's saying he got Even You ministry, but y'all see I got the shirt on, right? So definitely just learning to be his helpmate and supporting him in that. We're also about to be ordained ministers at our church. So we are serving together. And really just whatever God gives us, you know, we talk about it, we pray about it, and we try to execute.
Yeah, amazing. Well, congratulations, y'all. That's a lot. And so we definitely gonna dive into that, like how you juggle it all. And by no means, and I think I shared this with you offline, Jasmine, we are all works in progress. That is the purpose of this series, to really kind of show the behind the scenes of our Kingdom couples, you know, what some deem to be power couples or relationship goals. Like we talk about, like, hey, the ins and outs of it, the nitty gritty of it. And so you know, we want you to feel free in sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it has all helped to bring you to where you are today.
Amen.
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 Love it. Shall we talk about what had happened was?
Yes. What had happened was, so we have a segment called What Had Happened Was, and this segment is about connecting how BE got connected with whoever our guests are. So Maya, I'll let you kind of kick it off.
Okay, I will.
What happened was.
Yes. So, okay, y'all heard us talk about the plug. Our BE audience has heard us talk about the plug, okay? But Becoming Eva's plug is none other than Latrinka Lee, okay?
Shout out Latrinka.
Yeah, we always like the plug. The plug hooked us up with this one. And so, and she works very hard behind the scenes. She refuses to come on the front seats. We're going to keep trying. But she's
get out like, here. Go ahead.
And she's like, no, I do my thing behind the scenes. But, and she be in the chat too, lighting the chat up. If you go back to our videos, you will see she is lighting the chat up. We're like, Latrinka, thank you for your support.
Like, you wear y'all gear too. She supports.
Yeah, she does.
Oh my gosh, she reps so hard. I'm like, Latrinka, you would think we out here with a million followers. She's like, look, if you don't know, you better know. So I'm like, thank you for believing in us, because we be out here like, are we making a difference? Are we impacting lives? And she's like, I got you. So yeah, so Latrinka Lee, aka The Plug, is related actually to Jasmine. And so she actually shared a video of an interview that you two did on a podcast. And I was just blown away. I was blown away by, first of all, just the vulnerability and the transparency of it, but then also to see God's hand on your marriage and how he has been moving, how he is moving. Even listening to you all introduce yourselves, I'm like, you don't look like what you've been through. You don't sound like what you've been through. And it's just evident that, you know, there's a call on your marriage, on your ministry, and that he's used everything. You know what I mean? Like, he's using and has used everything for your good and for his glory. So I'm excited about diving into your story. But Jasmine, if you want to share anything about Latrinka, feel free. But that's how we came to know y'all through our plug.
Oh my goodness. It's funny because she sent me, I think, a screenshot of when she was texting you about getting this on. And I noticed she said, yeah, it's my niece. She stole my birthday, April 11th. She just has to squeeze that in, whatever she brings me up. Because I know that was a big deal. When I was born, it was like April 11th became mine. You know, I was a newest baby. So I love you, Aunt Trink. I love you. I'm sorry about that.
shout out to Aunt Trink and Uncle Jerry, too.
Yes.
Work behind the scenes. You know, that's just been their life. But, you know, they want nothing more than for God to be glorified.
Yeah.
So. Another kingdom couple on fire.
Amen. That. And the words I hear is purpose partners. Like, they come alongside of people's purpose and purpose. Like she said, she don't have to be, you know, on the front screen. She could be behind the scene. But it's like, you know, we talk about our church, how God has men for your life and people for your life. Like, they're the people who come alongside of your vision and push it. So we celebrate y'all, Aunt Trinka, Uncle Jerry. We love y'all.
Yes, we love you.
And try to convince them to come on Becoming Eva, because we've been trying to convince them, I don't know how long, but it's Latrinka. She's like, no.
We got you. Please. We'll get them up there.
Yeah,
I love that. Purpose partners. Yes. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm an April baby too. So I know we want our, not even just our day, our month. So yes, how she might feel like, you know, her toes were stepped on a little bit, but it's all right. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the April family. We got you. So all right. So that is what had happened was. So we're gonna turn it over and talk about how it started. Take it away, Toya.
We want to dive in a little bit deeper into understanding you all as a couple. So can you share with us how you two met?
Go ahead. Take it away, babe.
Dude, look, this is where she let me talk. But so Jasmine and I, we met when I was about 10 years old. Jasmine's about 8.
Yeah, so we gotta say we grew up. We're gonna just start off. We grew up together.
So we grew up together, and
so hold on. So we talk about Aunt Trinka though, right? So this was like her nephew. You know what I'm saying? Growing up, because him and my brother was so close.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, growing up, as she said, I was very close with her brothers, both of them. Through the game of basketball, like, we're from Seaford, Delaware. Mm-hmm. It's a very small, tight-knit community. And basketball is, like, the sport, you know, out there. So, you know, that's the cool thing growing up. If you ain't play basketball, then, you know, you probably weren't well-known. But so growing up, yeah, I went to school with her brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, we played on every basketball team together. And so, you know, I was always over her house. Like, I pretty much lived with them at one point. Mm-hmm. And, but I could say, like, Jasmine and I, like, we were always, like, bro and sis. We never, you know, we never saw each other like that. Mm-hmm. Now we did. Look, she's
hold on, let me butt in really quick before you get into that. Go ahead, she missed a big part of our growing up together. So, I gotta talk about my parents. Shout out to my mom and dad. So they actually have a nonprofit called Impact, but back then it was called Speak. So pretty much, first I want to say, like, a lot of our philanthropic, entrepreneurial, like, you know, start things, bring a solution to the community, I feel like was sparked back then by my parents. And so they had a boys group called Man Up, still have it going today. And then a girls group called Unique. So that was another thing where not only us, but a lot of young girls and boys came together all the time because it was mentorship. We did they had an academy where they focused on like education. We focused on like empowerment, knowing your identity, you know, relationships, friendships. So I just wanted to kind of give them a plug too, because way back when Aunt Trinka, you know, she would be at all the sessions. Her and my Uncle Jerry would be there, bringing the food, helping with Unique, helping with Man Up. So I would say, like, growing up, we had this community of both parents, kids who were, you know, just pretty much just trying to do good for our community, do good for our area. So that was another thing, another reason why we were always together and kind of doing the same things.
Yes. Can I add real quick, because I forgot to mention, we interviewed your mom. We interviewed your mom, Natasha. So
I've seen that on your YouTube. I'm like,
shout out. Like, we featured her last season. So yes, shout out to your mom. And I'm trying to pull up her married name, because I was supposed to say Natasha Freshwater, but I'm like,
yep,
Mullen. Mm-hmm. Mullen, thank you. Yep, shout out to Natasha Freshwater Mullen.
That'll be like another good couple for y'all.
Get them up here.
Gotta bring them back. We got Natasha to be like, bring your husband next time.
Yep, so, for sure.
I love it. Courtesy of the plug. Okay, go ahead, Andre. Carry on.
But yeah, so you know, her parents were very essential in the community we grew up in, and not just myself, but I would say, like, all of the boys who were a part of that Man Up Academy and things like that, we spent a lot of time at her house. You know, her father and mother would have cookouts there all the time, sleepovers, you know, all that kind of stuff. So spent a lot of time there. And I just say, for my family, my parents were ministers of music. So, and then my biological parents also went through like a divorce when I was about 7 years old. So that's how I moved to Delaware in the first place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a kid navigating through that, you just try to find stability, honestly. You just trying to find, you know, the silver lining in it all. So I can definitely say, like, basketball and then her parents and her brothers, her family, was really like essential as far as my upbringing. They were a very key piece in providing me like emotional stability, you know, just stability in general. And so as I said, you know, we were always around each other to the point where, I mean, probably barely noticed each other, like it was just brother and sister. And now I will say, like, sixth grade, you know, like, she was sixth grade. I was in eighth grade at the time. We dated for like a month, but
I guess you thought, like, let's just try.
Yeah,
we dated for like a month. The stories ain't adding up to like why it ended.
He left me for
stuff.
An eighth grader. So, that was my first heartbreak, okay?
I don't recall, like. But yeah, so, you know, it was just, you know, it wasn't nothing serious. And so, you know, life goes on.
Yeah, and we both were in other relationships after that absolutely. Point, high school,
yeah,
and college. You know, we're
going to get in, we'll probably talk about something that we've never talked about before during this episode, mm-hmm. because God is so funny. Like, the way that he used common pain that we both experienced mm-hmm. at the same exact time that was actually related. And you know, we probably just talked about this like a month ago.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, do you realize like we're married now and you know this happened to both of us at the same time. But so yeah, we get older and she goes her separate ways to
that's when I left college. And went to ODU yep. here in Virginia. So I'm going from Delaware to Virginia.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I stayed home. I went to a local university, Delaware State University. And, you know, we're just living, like, and then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of get, I got the call, y'all. I'm going to just say that, like, the call from God to, like, you know, all right, I want you, like, I, you know,
wow.
relationship with you. You know, you just feel all of a sudden the desire to like change your life, to you know, give up things that you're doing, just to, you know, things that once pleased you no longer interest you anymore, things like that. So I felt the call, and you know, honestly, I didn't even know about how to go about like even answering it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like I said, I grew up in church, but you know, it was more like religious. It wasn't like relationship, just going through the motions for me. And all of a sudden, man, like God really put it on my heart to reach out to Jasmine at the time. And like I said, Jasmine is now away at college, but I'm seeing the fruit of God, this transformation in her life. Mm. And you know, so like she said, she's doing women's empowerment groups on campus at Old Dominion University. You know, I knew her growing up personally, so I knew how she was when, you know,
I was in the streets.
Yeah. and the thing is, like, when I saw how she was now that she was at college, I was like, man, you know, like that's a major transformation. And you know, nobody but God could have brought that about. And so, you know, he placed it on my heart to reach out to her just as far as like, you know, like how did, like, you know, what's your walk like? Like how's it look? You know, what's the first steps? All of those good things. And so, you know, we reconnected there.
Yeah.
And I think this is an important part to insert that story. So when I was a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. You were a senior?
I was a senior.
I was a sophomore in college, mm-hmm. yeah. And I was, like I said, I went to the local university, so it wasn't only about like 45 minutes from home. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would go home a lot on the weekends. And but just being honest, you know, I was still dating a girl from back home. And she went to the same
high school with me.
Yeah, she went to the same high school as Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm dating her. And man, at the time, like, I struggled so much with like self-worth. Like, see, when you really don't know who you are in Christ, you'll really allow people to treat you any kind of way and you'll put up with anything. You know what I'm saying? So, so I'm dating this girl and she's like just dragging me through the mud. Mm-hmm. But a long story short, it ends up where she ends up cheating on me during Jasmine's high school year. Mm-hmm. And she cheats on me with Jasmine's then boyfriend at the time. So we just talked about this like a month ago, but like, we're like, do you realize like, you know, we both got hurt at the same time by the same people. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, like I said, God is funny because, like, you know, with us being married now, it's like, man, like, But if that never happened, I don't know if this would, you know.
Yeah, it's very, I guess you could say, ironic that we experienced that, because I just shared on my Instagram, like, my testimony about that. My experience of going through something so public, because I'm dating, let's be real, he was the most popular person at our school. And I'm dating him, and then the girl who Dre was dating was also very popular. Everybody knew us, you know? So I think the biggest thing for me was the fact that this was a public embarrassment. Like, yeah. Them two doing that, fooling around. And by no means, you know, we have since then forgiven everybody who was part of the situation. Look, I know that in high school I had myself too, you know what I mean? So it's never... We're never sharing this story as to, like, throw anybody under the bus. But I do believe, like, it's a big part of our testimony because, I hate to say it, but it had to happen. Yeah. And also, it's interesting because my senior year of high school, I also had really got serious about my relationship with God. Like, I decided to be celibate. Mm. So it's another thing. We can't get too much into it, but it just shows the layers of it. Like, I was deciding to change my life and be celibate. I'm in a relationship with somebody who was also trying to give his life to God too, but there was that temptation from the person that he was with. Like, it's a full circle moment. But, you know, I praise God for not for the pain that we went through, but that he truly does work all things together for the good of those who love them and are called. And, like, then we couldn't see now. But now we can kind of talk about it from the other side of being victorious. So anyway, that was, like, I was in high school. He was in college. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I'm at Regent Law School. He's you were still in college at that point, I think, mm-hmm. back home in Delaware. And then... So that was when me and him reconnected.
Okay.
So we're going to pause and see if y'all have any other questions, and then we might kind of circle back to, like,
Yeah, I have so many questions. It's like, what question? I know, Andre, you were close to her brothers. Yeah. How was that when you started dating her? Like, did they give you a hard time when you started dating? When you and Jasmine, like, started dating, like, officially, not like the little sixth grade, eighth grade thing, but
right.
But did they give you all a hard time?
Nah, it wasn't a hard time. And you know, like, me being the person I am, like, Jasmine attests to this, I actually reached out to them before, you know, we even, like, officially called it dating or whatever.
Wow.
And you know, just to get, like, their blessing, their approval, because, you know, the last thing I wanted was for it to for me to just do it, and then it caused, like, some, you know, animosity between us. So yeah, I actually did, and that was one of the things Jasmine actually, like, I guess she struggled with you know, coming into the relationship at first, because she had reservations about, like, how they would feel. And so that kind of also encouraged me to, like, reach out to them as well. So yeah, that was something, like, I would say that was on her checklist for me to do before we could start dating. So, like,
wow. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, to that point, it doesn't say that it still hasn't been difficult, because there's a kind of a conflict, you know, that they've been so close and then they're my brothers, you know. So now with us dating, it can be hard, like, when we navigate issues, when we navigate conflicts within our relationship, because the double relationship, the dual relationship on both sides. So yeah. We have had challenges when it pertains to that. And I'm sure, you know, my brothers have their own story and their own perspective as well. So I would say it's still something that we're working through too.
Yeah. No, that's real. I am amazed to hear that y'all grew up together. I honestly thought you were going to say, like, y'all met in college or something, but, like, literally to meet at, like, 8 and 10, grow up together, grow up with your brothers, and really not really be paying attention to each other like that until later on in life. Like, it makes me think, my husband and I did not know each other when we were children, but we met right after college, and we were friends for about a decade before we started dating. And it took a minute for me to shift, because he was, like, officially in, like, friend, brother in Christ mode, right, when he approached me, and I was like, hold on a second, let me get my mind right.
Like,
yeah, let me see if I can even, you know, switch gears. A lot of people, you have mutual friends, like, you're talking about your brothers, there's that dual relationship there.
Right.
So How did y'all navigate that? Like, when y'all reconnected and it was revealed, okay, like, hey, let's really seriously try to do this. Like, how, like, did it take a minute for y'all to switch gears from, like, you know, bro, sis, friends, whatever, to like, oh, I really want to like pursue this relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot. What was that transition like?
I would say in reflection, we probably could have did a little bit better. I think for me, I was more so focused on like, am I supposed to entertain this at all? You understand? So again, I'm in law school. I keep saying I'm celibate because there's just certain things that come with that. And, you know, you just have to guard your heart. You have to be careful, entertain. So I was kind of in that mode. And in full transparency, I didn't think about the way it was going to impact everybody else, our families growing up, like those relationships. So because, you know, I was trying to navigate that for myself, I couldn't take care of everybody. So I think, again, everybody has their own perspective and how they navigated that. Because another thing that we did not say is soon after we reconnected, soon after we started dating, I was pregnant with my oldest son, Kamari.
Wow.
So we were intimate with each other as well. So I don't think everybody had a chance to like really grasp like, wait a minute. What happened? Because I thought y'all were just studying the Bible together. I thought that maybe y'all had to crack it up. I thought that maybe y'all had something going on, but they didn't necessarily know when we officially started getting serious. So I think that the lines were definitely blurred. Again, glory to God for how he's taken all of that and made it this. But, you know, I just never tried to undermine somebody else's experience through that, because even though God was glorified, like toes were stepped on, you know, people's feelings weren't always acknowledged for real. But you know, we've overcome a lot, our families, like our families, our parents, our siblings, and so we're still kind of processing all of them.
Now, you know, we got to go a little deep on that, because you literally went from I was celibate, we studied the Bible together, to I'm pregnant. Okay.
It's funny you say that. That's actually how it happened. The same way you heard it was how it happened. But go ahead.
We got to go there though, because literally I believe that's how it happened, because there are so many different layers to that. Like, and our husbands, of course, y'all know, do a show called Track Stars, and they had this person that they were talking about who was like, he really, you know, he said something, and it was off the wall the way he said it, where they were like, what? But he was like, I would rather my wife be sexually intimate with somebody than like studying the Bible with them, because it could be more intimate at times, if you will. Like, it was the way he put it. So, you know, of course they were like, now what? Like, I don't want my wife to have a bunch of bodies. Like, I would rather her be studying the Bible with somebody. But at the same time, there is a level of intimacy that comes, especially if you don't necessarily have certain boundaries in place.
Right.
Because like literally spiritual intimacy leads to emotional intimacy, which for women usually leads to physical intimacy. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit about boundaries. Like, hindsight is 2020. And so for somebody who was practicing celibacy, like, what are some boundaries even now that you may encourage other women to put in place that are trying to live a celibate life? They're trying to grow in the Lord. You know, they're meeting men of God, you know, that they may or may not be interested in. But like, what are some things, like, why are boundaries so important? You get what I'm saying? Because
I get it.
How it happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you asked that, because I don't think I've actually been able to express what that was like. And what I would say is, again, we knew each other. Like, I've always known Dre. So I think when we reconnected, it was hard to court. You understand? Like, it was hard to say, you stayed over my house so many times. So why do you gotta go home? Why is it getting late? So something boundaries that I had put in place for other guys that I've dated since I was celibate. And I think that's how the enemy kind of messed with that. Like, I didn't put in place for him because I was already so comfortable around him because we grew up together. Yeah. So that's the main thing that I would say is like, don't give the enemy a foothold. Like, don't give him an open door, especially if it's somebody, like you said, you've known as your brother in Christ. Like, you have to be more intentional to say, all right, like, it's 6-7 o'clock, you know, it's been a really good night, I'll see you tomorrow. Like, don't be at each other's house chilling. Just don't do it. Like,
yeah,
you know, while you're courting, because especially at night, you know, because you're opening the door. And I also like how you said with spiritual intimacy, it is emotional intimacy, and we were physically attracted to each other. So the lines were blurred. Like, there was nowhere where the spiritual stopped and the emotional started and the physical started. All of it was all there. So it can kind of look away, because it's like, on the outside looking in, it's like, oh, y'all gave the appearance that this was one thing and it really wasn't, but that wasn't what it was. Drake genuinely had a desire to grow in his relationship with God.
Amen.
But he also knew I was part of it.
Yeah.
So it was like God gave him the vision, but he didn't know. It was almost like when Joseph had the dream. Like, he gave him the dream, but it was a long process that was supposed to happen before all of it happened. And I think both of us didn't know how to decipher and discern that. So all of it was happening at one time. So looking back, you know, I think that if I had stood on, because I'm the more spiritually strong one. So I, you know, at that time I was. Mm-hmm. So if I had said, no, like, this is, I'm putting my foot down. We maybe we went too far yesterday, but now we're going to do it this way, or we're not going to be able to continue this unless we do it this way. I think that I'm trying to be careful about what I say, because I don't want anybody to hear this and say, oh, look, they fell into temptation, and look, like, look what God did with their marriage. No, because we went through so much stuff because it was out of order.
Yeah.
We went through so much because it was out of order. I cannot emphasize that enough. Like, there are consequences to sin.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. We went through a lot in our relationship that we did not have to go through because we rushed a lot. And, you know, I mean, we fell into that sin. We fell into that temptation. And yes, God worked it out, but we still had to go through what we had to go through from that. So again, just going back, like, knowing what your boundaries are for you, where your convictions are for you, and standing on them, and understanding that yes, there's grace when we fall, but we're still gonna go through the consequences of falling.
Yes, facts. That's so good.
Thank you for being so vulnerable and transparent, because I feel like it's real life, and you are speaking to people that are struggling with the same things that you all struggled with. So thank you for just being so open and willing to share.
Yeah.
Wow. That was my side. It was your side.
Yeah, I just think, you know, like you said, like, you gotta run, like, run. Don't even put yourself in positions where, you know, the enemy can creep in. Like, I mean, like she said, if you don't have a boundary with, you know, even something as small as, like, you know, curfew, like, all right, you're going home at this time, something that small, if you compromise on something that small, it's an entryway for the enemy. So you got to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yeah.
That's so good. So good. I think even, you know, especially as you're, you know, in adulthood or entering adulthood, you feel like, I got it. I could figure this out. You know, and the devil's like, you got it. Keep going. You know, and you don't, it almost feels like you're being weak when you do put boundaries in place, but it is actually being strong, because you are trying to prevent those and not give the enemy a foothold. So, I mean, it's so important. It's so important. And it's honestly, the older you get and the more mature you become in the faith, the more important they are, especially as a single. Absolutely. So good.
And it's because, like, that's what the word says. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So
you have
to stand on business. Honestly.
Right.
You got to stand on it. Yeah.
And recognize that the fruit of your obedience is so sweet.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. And, you know, I know we can't go back and change it and fix it and do it right. Right. I know that. And we we love our life now. You understand what I'm saying? But I know that, you know, putting those, being obedient with the little things, like Dre was saying, and being like, God, like, my temptation, this lust, I feel it, it's heavy, you know, but it's like you playing the long game. It's like, all right, I'm going to surrender this to you, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is going to help me with this. Remove the desire to sin against you and disobey you. And then, you know, I know many people will get up on your show and share, like, the fruit of that, which I know is a different story, right? And God was glorified in both situations. But there is, I think there's fruit with obedience, too, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Y'all. Okay. Y'all see, we could be here all day. So we go moving along. Cause this is, first of all, I hope y'all working on a book if you're not already. Cause
we're supposed to be working on our own podcast.
Okay.
Thought of a name. So
I love it. I love it. Okay. So fast forward, take us to how you all ended up getting married. Like, what was the journey like from, okay, we pregnant with our first child to, you know, navigating all the consequences of that, the awkwardness of that with your families to, okay, we're going to get married. Like, how did, tell us about that journey real quick.
What you got?
No, well, I would just say, like, it was, I would say from the time that the pregnancy had, well, I would say even leading up to the pregnancy, there was a lot of, like, you know, because we didn't view it as a relationship, like, we didn't know what it was, there was a lot of, like, I'm gonna say in and out. So, like, you know, I can't even tell you,
like you said.
I can't even tell you how many times, like, Jasmine, you know, called whatever it was off, like, and, you know, so it got to the point where, like, I actually had to seek God for myself. And which that was what she wanted, you know, she was helping me along in my faith, but she also had to get me to a point where, you know, I was not leaning on her to hear from God or to, you know, have a relationship with God. So, even up to our son being born, it was a lot of in and out, but once he was here, you know, there was still in and out. Like, we went in and out again after he was about, like, a month old. It was around, like, Christmas. So, know, that was when we, like, we were going out for good. And it got to the point where, like, you know, now we're co-parenting. You know, we not even, like, you know, we not even entertaining conversations that, you know, were like the ones of old. We not even, you know, speaking like that. It's strictly business as it pertains to our son. And one thing I will say is it took a lot for me to look inward at that time, because in situations where, you see, I always measured my value, my self-worth based on, like, how pretty or how bad, like, my girlfriend was. That was my whole life growing up, especially as a basketball player. I think that's common. Like,
yeah,
you focus on, like, what type of women you get and, like, how they look, and you get outside pressure from, you know, your boys and things like that to you know, focus there. So I would say, like, the final time where, you know, we called it off, it was like, you know, something on the inside of me really wanted to, like, just, you know, all right, I'm gonna just go find another. That was just how I solved that issue growing up. So, like, now I'm gonna just go find another woman. Or, you know, you gotta focus on, like, generational trauma, generational curses as well. Like, I noticed I started doing things to, like, try and manipulate the situation. So, like, that she would come back so that she wouldn't, you know, leave, so that she would feel sorry for me, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that last time we called it off, it was a lot of self-work there. A lot of seeking God, too, though, a lot of therapy, like, all of that kind of stuff. And it's amazing now, because, like, that's what led to, you know, our ministries and things like that. Like, a whole ministry was birthed out of that place. You know, I had to understand that God had purpose for, like, my life, you know, and everything about me as it is. I didn't have to change things about myself for him to use me. And yeah, so it was like it was necessary refining that we had to go through. So Kamari is here now, and I would say like we really weren't on the best terms at that time. Like again, we're just speaking as it pertains to Kamari, and we actually had decided to hold his Christian his dedication service together. And, you know, we did it at, you know, the church, Aunt Trinkin and Uncle Jerry, attended before they moved to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And, it reminds me a lot of the church that we go to now, mm-hmm. That we're ministers at, but it's a very small, tight knit church, but very prophetic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing because the pastor there, I mean, he's actually like legally blind. But for, you know, the way you see the spirit, like, go beyond his eyesight, what he can naturally see, and then still be so accurate, you know, even down to, like, I can't see you, but you,
but
come here,
you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so that service, man, I would say even the night before, like, I was down in South Carolina, and you know, I didn't even know if we was going to make it back in time for this dedication service. But I knew I had Kamari, so, like, Jasmine had to, like, speak to me, you know, at that time. So that was how deep the manipulation was. Like, you know, almost using our son as, like, as a pawn. Like, I think we both kind of did it in ways. But, yeah, so we get to this service, and our families are there. Again, I'm unpacking the trauma and things that I witnessed from my parents when they went through their divorce, right? And, you know, so both of my parents there, my family's there, her family's there. And I think we on, you know, such bad terms that, like, I don't even think we sit together. And, like, remember, our parents, our families knew each other because of how close, you know, our community was growing up. And so for it to be like that, you know, it was some, like, heavy, like, manipulation and things going on to where, you know, we weren't on the same terms. But, you know, we get to this service, and, man, like, never before in all my years of church, in all my years of going to 2-3 services every Sunday, like, I had never felt the Spirit of God move like it did that day. And so, again, we're enemies, and all of a sudden, like, the Spirit just comes over me, and I'm just standing at my seat, like, I'm just, you know, snotty nose crying, like, I'm bawling, no good, like, just surrendered, hands up, and all of a sudden, like, somebody grabs me and walks me to the front. Like, to this day, I think it was Ashley. You know, Ashley, if you out there, like, confirm it was you, but I can't even tell you exactly who grabbed me and walked me up to the front. But so I get up to the front, and the pastor is actually prophesying to me at this point. My heart posture is still surrendered. You know, I'm in front of everybody now, snotty nose crying, don't even care. And, you know, he prophesies to me that, number one, I need to let it go. And he was talking about, I knew what he was talking about. He was talking about the relationship. I was trying so hard. I was toiling to make it work. I was toiling through manipulation and all of those types of things to make it work. And the Spirit of God told me to let it go that day. So, you know, I was okay. That was the one time I was okay with just letting it go, because I knew that all I wanted in that moment was what God had for me. Like, I was content with God. Like, and he also prophesied on me about, you know, becoming a pastor and things like that. But it was at that very moment that, like, something just shifted. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jasmine, like, the last time we called it off, she would say things like, you know, the Lord will let me know, like, if it's you, talking about me being, like, her husband, like, stuff like that. She was like, the Lord will let me know if it's you. And I was like, man, you know, I've been to church my whole life, but I ain't never heard God, like, audibly tell me, like, okay, you know, something is something or whatever. So I was like, so God gonna actually tell you? And like, you know, just if you're not submitted to the Spirit, you're impatient. You know what I'm saying? You're impatient because you're not willing to wait on God. Like, so I was very impatient at that time. And like I said, at that moment, something shifted. And I would tell you, like, 5 minutes later, like, Jasmine and I immediately rekindled. You see, it don't take the time that people think it needs to take. You know, God's timing is not our own.
Right.
Amen.
We rekindled, like, and I mean immediately. And I would say 5 minutes later, like, Jasmine sent me a text. You know, the service is over now. She's like, listen, like, I'm following your lead. Wherever you go, I'll go. And, you know, just like that, we went from enemies to being rekindled that same service, and then we got married in court, I would say like 2 weeks later. So God moved expeditiously, like, and it was not in a conventional way. Mm-hmm. But at that moment, he made all of that mess that we had created in flesh and in lust. Like you say, he made it all work together for our good. So yeah, it happened instantly. Yeah, it was fast.
Wow.
Fast. Yes. Very fast.
Let us know when that podcast ready. That's all I'm saying. Because already booked.
Yes, because you know how it is. It's different layers.
And yes.
Like his side, and then my understanding is, you know, so we got to get it going.
Please. Okay, y'all. We have two more questions. Uh-huh. Or at least I do. If you have another one, I'm like, I feel like we could go so many different places here, but I love your story. And I love the fact of how, like, it was just imperative that God positioned you where you needed to be, Andre, in order to, like, even, like, lead your family at the end of the day, you know. And Jasmine was insistent upon you getting to that place in order for her to follow your lead, you know. And you do, sometimes you do have to step back. You know, I know I was in a season like that with my husband where I was like, I refuse to be the one who leads because I will end up leading the entire marriage and we'll be out of order. Like, God has not designed the family to be that way. You know, the husband is the, you know, the head of the household for a reason and the leader of the household for a reason. Spiritually, you know, like literally they have to carry that mantle in order for the blessings of God to really flow. So praise God for that. So I just want to ask how things changed after you all got married. I know y'all went through a lot in order to even get to that place, but how things changed after marriage, and then we'll close out with some final words, but yeah.
Okay. So yeah, like you said, we got married in court. We maybe told like a few people. So again, while we're going through all of these things together, individually, there are people who are heavily connected to us who are impacted by these things. So again, like we both felt like this is right. We need to do this now. And I just want to go back just a little bit because he talked about how we were like on and off during that period with me being pregnant with Kamari. And I just wanted to emphasize that was like my fall from grace. I just want to really emphasize that. Like, I almost got emotional thinking about it because, you know, at this point, there are so many women who look up to me. You know, I have a ministry. People are like, wow, like if she can do it, I can do it. You know, wow, if she can obey God, I can do it. So I had such a hard time forgiving myself. Y'all, I ain't never really thought about this, but I had such a hard time forgiving myself because I'm just like, Jasmine, you literally went back on your word. And now, you know, how are other girls, you know, they're going to think that this is okay. Or at least you let them down. Essentially, you let them down. So that was being projected in our relationship because I was looking at him like, well, you were the cause. I didn't understand the spiritual. I didn't understand what the enemy was doing. I didn't understand that God really had something for us. And he took our the enemy took our weaknesses and all these different things happened. I didn't know that then. So all I knew is like, I fell for this temptation. I fell from grace. And now, you know, I went to a private Christian university. I was actually about to do chapel. We have chapel at our school. And so on Thursdays, you know, there's somebody, I never even told him this, but so there's somebody who leads chapel. I was applying for that. I spoke with my advisor. They were like, you know, you probably don't want to do that now. Like, I'm losing, like, the traction that I had in ministry because of this public thing. So anyway, I just wanted to share that as well. Is like, there was like a process I had to go through for me and God to get back how we were. And so that's why I had to tell him, like, I can't do it, because until God reveals to me that it's you. And right now, all I see is that this threw me off. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So what God wanted was for me to be his and for Dre to be his completely. So that way he could really do what he wanted to do in our marriage. So I just wanted to share that as well, because I know there are other women who are listening to this, and just I wanted to give a little bit more on what that was like. Ladies, you know, when you have that fall, you just rededicate yourself. Like, don't fall into condemnation. The word says that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? So try not, you know, it's going to be there, but don't listen to that voice and say you're not worthy, you're not loved. You know, God doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want a relationship with you. You repent. And you turn from it, both, repent and turn. So during that time, right, that's what repentance is, you're changing. And so unfortunately at that time, me turning was turning from him. So I had, you know, we had to go through that. So anyway, fast forward, he talked about the church service, we got married. And then after that, it was like, all right, like I got to finish law school. I need to get back down to Virginia to finish my stuff. So we moved in. We got a double wide trailer in Virginia. We had a newly born son. And now it's like, you said, what was it like after marriage? Honestly, it was the very beginning, you know, almost like when you give your life to Christ, but then you have to, you know, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, as the word says. That was what it was for us. Like, we had to like rebuild from all this, let's be honest, trauma, pain that we both inflicted onto each other. Mm-hmm. The damages in the family relationships that were 15 plus years. Wow. Now, mind you, our little spiel was like 2 years. You get what I'm saying? That all that happened, but the longstanding relationships were years and years and years that had been damaged. Mm-hmm. It needed to be repaired. So all these things are happening. He had to finish school. You're doing your master's of social work at that time. Mm-hmm. He was getting his master's of social work while I was in law school. And so it was hard. It definitely was hard. Again, I think it's hard when you know you have a calling on your life. Dre knew he was supposed to be a pastor way back then. But it's like, you still got to go through it's still a lot.
Yeah.
You know, through your journey. And I think sometimes I wish God would be like, yeah, I told you this, but hold on. Like, first it's this, and then it's that, and then it's this. Yeah. You know, instead, he walks with us and he talks with us, but he's not going to show us the whole journey that it's going to take to get to the thing he told us. And today I can honestly say, like, I see now because we're both coming into the fullness of what he's called us to do. And I see why back then we went through what we went through, but also like we had to go through all of that to get here.
And it's been, I would say it's been a lot of you know, expediting as well. Like
bought our house.
You know, we're pretty young as far as professionalism and stuff like that goes. We typically like always the youngest couple in the rooms that we're in. Most of the time we're the youngest in the rooms of our professions.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of expediting, like, I mean, to the point where God has, I mean, graced us to be able to pass licensing exams that, you know, people really,
we both don't got
with
no business passing.
we passing them on the first time. I mean,
amen.
We built the house at the age of 25, 27. I mean, when I tell you, like, once we surrendered fully to Christ and gave the relationship back to him, I mean, he's just, you know, he's blown our mind. Like, it's been one thing on the heel of another. I'll say that.
Whew. God redeemed the time.
Oh,
he did. Amen.
Where can people stay connected to you all if they want to hear more about your story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we I would say my wife is very active on Instagram. Well, we have Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
Instagram, they can do Journey with Jazz. So just write out Journey with Jazz 1Z, and I think it's an underscore. So that way, when we launch this podcast, everything will come through there. I'll be announcing it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram for him, Even You United.
It's Even United. EvenYounited.
Okay.
And
Even United. Okay.
Yeah. And then on TikTok, Even You Ministry. Mm-hmm. And
same with me. Journey with Jazz should be on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And there they'll see like Daughters Connect Ministry and all of that is connected there. So that's a good home place to be connected to both of us.
Yeah.
To continue to follow our journey. The last podcast we did, they reached out, and feel free to reach out if you want to talk more about some things that we talked about. We hit on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I know we got limited time, but if you want to talk more about it and hear more about our stories, reach out.
Okay. So we've got Journey with Jazz. Mm-hmm. Is there an underscore in there?
At the end.
Oh, Journey with Jazz.
Journey with Jazz underscore. Yep.
And then Even You United. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Even You. No. It's like Even United.
Yeah. Oh. So it's Even YOUNITED.
Got it.
Like a word.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to post both of these and let's see if we have it right. Did we do it right for both of these?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So y'all, these are their handles for Instagram and did you say another platform or is this primarily for their Instagram?
Instagram and TikTok.
That's my ministry.
And that's his.
That's my ministry's Instagram. That's perfect. My personal Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. So y'all, this is how you can keep in touch. You know, I feel like we definitely need to have y'all back because I feel like we just scratching the surface, quite honestly. So
yes.
But yes. Huh. But Toya, you have anything else before we close out?
This was just it's going to be very impactful to people when they hear this podcast or watch it on YouTube. And I just want to say thank you all so much for being so willing to share so much intimate details about your journey. It's amazing.
Yes.
Glory be to God. God is good.
Glory be to God. Yes, he is. All right. Do we have time for a quick round of who's who?
We can do maybe a couple questions.
Okay. We'll just do a quick round. So who's who? Basically, we're going to ask rapid fire, quick question, and you point to whether it's you or your spouse that this applies to. Okay. Yeah. We try to keep it fun and lighthearted. We may involve the children if we need witnesses, but all to say, just quick round. So go for it, Toya.
All right. Close your eyes. Point to whoever said, "I love you" first.
All right. Open your eyes. You got it right. Okay.
Number two. For those that are listening to the podcast. Okay, close your eyes. Who's the better driver?
All right, open your eyes.
Okay.
Yep, we got it.
Okay. And that was Andre for those of you listening. One more question. Yes. Close your eyes. When it comes to disciplining the children, who plays good cop?
Good.
Open cop. Eyes. Who are you pointing, James? Okay, open good your cop. Eyes.
That one was hard. It could have went either way.
It depends on which child. See, we got a boy and a girl. So for the boy, that's good cop. For the girl, I'm good cop.
I love it. Well, y'all, it has been amazing. We thank God for you, for your union, for your testimony, and just for the lives that you are already impacting. And we thank God for you. So, all right, we'll close out. If you all want to support BE Community, you know where to find us. Get some merch, get some, you know, water bottles, tea, mugs, clothes, shirts, all that good stuff. Subscribe and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, X, all that. And yeah, our journey of Kingdom Couples will continue. So we're excited.
Amen. And we'll see you guys.
See you next time.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.